Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
United Technologies and Raytheon joining forces to create an aerospace and defense powerhouse. It is one of the biggest corporate mergers of 2019.
Huh.
The annual revenue of the combined forces will be about $74 million.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of money.
And the company will be worth about $166
billion. Billion dollars.
So not that big.
Yeah. Well, mom and pop place.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, so they're moving their headquarters to Boston.
Figures!
This will be like the first time in the 100-and-something-year history of United Technologies that they will not be headquartered in Connecticut.
Mm. Northward ho! We're moving up to Boston! Whoa! We're moving out to Boston! Whoa!
I like that version.
The tax too high. We're gonna fly. Moving up to Boston. Whoa. UTC. First GE. And now UTC. Moving up to Boston. Whoa.
It's coming together.
Yep. Guess I'm writing a song.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Welcome to Massachusetts theme song.
You know, they went from Taxachusetts to a destination in one election.
Amazing, isn't it?
They get that one governor.
Yep.
And he's like, we're open for business.
Right. Come on!
What's this? Is this something that gets in the way of business coming here?
Right, exactly.
Oh, wait. Is this a business tax? Oh.
Yeah, no, come on.
Hold it. Is this a corporate red tape?
Look at that.
Yeah. Like, one election.
Yep. Yep. See how one election can make or break a place?
Yeah, and they're all, you know, all our companies are like, hey, it's not that far.
No, it's not.
It's not that hard to move.
You guys mind going an extra hour? No! Okay, we're good.
I think he really represents the anger of Connecticut citizens. I like
it. Yeah.
Amazing.
I posted this last night. I said, hey, a couple more tolls should solve this problem.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what the... all right, let me continue through this story.
Okay.
All right, because we have a lot to do, and we got to have a missing mom update.
Right.
Okay. So when this story broke, Fox 61 calls the governor for comment. And the governor's office told them, we're not going to comment on this at this time. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means?
No.
That means that let me translate that to you.
Okay, please.
This is the first I'm hearing of this. I need to go tell the governor immediately. Click.
Right. The spit take a coffee.
Oh yeah, no, that's I'm just hearing about this now.
Really?
So we do not have a comment.
I got a souffle in the other guy.
Yeah.
You know more than I know.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, and that was probably followed by, so where'd you hear that?
Right. And you heard footsteps.
Yeah, exactly. Governor, I know you're having a glass of wine right now, but put your sneakers on. We need to write a press release.
Put your shirt on, damn it.
Yeah. Mm. So then he released, about an hour later, a statement. It's like blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's important to note that nearly all of UTC's 19,000 employees will remain in Connecticut, roughly 100 moving to the new headquarters. Now, I don't know, is that first wave? But, you know, the 100 that are moving, those are the highest paid 100. Just so you know.
Yeah, only a couple of pilgrims came here first, by the way.
That's right.
Just so you know. And then look what happened. Everybody else showed up afterwards.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So the pilgrims are going over.
They can only fit so many on that first ship.
And then comes the rest of them. Come on,
Boston.
Oh, we're moving out to Boston. Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, see, now if Malloy was still governor right here, he could put...
Yeah, this one's going to make so many sounds. We need sounds in this one. Give him a couple of years. He'll be stumbling, too.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
There are good some... There are good.
Duh.
Yeah, that.
Duty.
See, yeah, that my dear.
She's just showing us how he used to talk.
Hey, thanks for the soundbite, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
It's a problem.
Her first flubble for her file.
There are already some good Lamont quotes you can put in there, is what I was trying to say.
It came out clear as glass. Yeah,
Ashley had a good weekend.
That's awesome, man.
So back to the governor's statement on UTC and Raytheon getting together and then moving their corporate headquarters to Boston. Quote, I've spoken directly with Greg Hayes and made it clear that Connecticut will always be open should things change, as they often do. That's like a breakup, like, hey, well, if he ever mistreats you, I'll be there.
I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Two arms that are open. Here for you.
That's right. They're going to move the corporate headquarters up there. Then like a week later say, hey, you know what? I kind of like paying taxes and like that pending toll thing. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
Come on.
Why would we be here?
Why?
Yeah. This serves as a reminder that we all live in an increasingly competitive economy. No dare! Oh, just wake up, Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, it's an epiphany.
This reminds us that it's a... When in the last 9 years were we not reminded that it's competitive and Connecticut's really not on the cutting edge?
Yeah, that definitely fills in the doy.
Wow, thanks for that, Governor.
All right, thank you, Professor Obvious.
Captain Deer. Blah, 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 blah. As such, it's critical we invest in education. Right.
Well, yeah, you taught us a lesson.
Right. Because, you know, we can't just have smart people from other states move here.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, if you have companies moving in, they're going to bring people in. They're not going to say, well, Connecticut's stupid. You know, so we're not going to move there. It's like, no, you see the deals we can get in Connecticut?
Right.
No taxes. Great lifestyle for our employees. Yeah.
All that and more.
Yeah, we have, okay, education. Yeah, and that should pay off in about 50 years. Workforce development. So we got to work on our workforce development. What the hell is that? Well, let's start with jobs.
Right. Well, workforce development.
You want to develop the workforce, bring some jobs in.
Right.
I don't know. Does it take a genius to figure this one out? Well, Holy crap.
They were thinking keeping them in here. So
we need to work on workforce development. Let's see.
Let's develop the workforce.
We need a need for a workforce.
I got an idea. We'll put invisible fence so they can't leave. That was a special remix.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And we need to work on our transportation infrastructure.
Tell them to have some bus.
Yeah, so they could get out of here faster.
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh, brother.
Need speed pass. Get out of the state.
Oh, my God. It's a very simple solution. It's three words. Cut taxes, asswipe. Is asswipe two words or one?
It's one.
Asswipe. Hyphenated, right. Maybe?
No, it's asswipe.
No, it's asswipe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, asswipe in Spanish, yeah.
It's not two words?
Yeah.
All right, so
no, it's
three.
Asswipe. Right.
Cut taxes, asswipe.
So CTA.
Asswipe is one word. Wipe ass is two.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you, Phil.
Appreciate that. Thanks for fact-checking. How fast he did that, too, Jeff.
Oh, God.
It'll be nice of him to do that for us.
And, you know, they'll all run out today with their press releases saying, see, need for tolls. Like, we need to, you know.
We need money here.
Yeah, you know, because people are leaving. So, you know, we got to, you know, like, screw you harder. I don't know.
They're leaving because they use
it. Can't wait to hear these press releases today.
Yes.
And at the end of the session, they're all like shaking hands and hugging like they did something good. And I'm like, you just screwed more people. You're really happy about this?
Yeah, like, really. You'd be smoking a cigarette, I
yeah,
think.
You should be like...
Boy, I really screwed them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we sure
we
did.
We got them good, huh?
We should probably cuddle right now.
Oh, man. I've been paying for this crap for years.
Hold me.
Yeah, I'll be down in Florida with my pension from the state, not paying taxes.
I'm hungry after all that.
And these suckers will still be paying for this
we
crap.
We should order pizza. We get the cab fare yet?
Yeah. This missing mom thing has everyone in this state talking. What's it been? 14, 15, like 16, 17 days now?
We're on week 3, I believe.
Yeah.
And mother of 5 just vanishes. And blood evidence found in her garage. Blood evidence found in garbage cans that police believe her estranged husband and his girlfriend put those items in those garbage cans. And it's a horrible story. And, you know, when there's a mystery, I think it's normal for us to want it to be solved quickly. Attorney Jim Bergen is on the phone. He's high-profile defense attorney, partner at Shipman and Goodman Counselors at Law in Hartford. Good morning, Jim. Let's just work with the premise that what we've heard reported is accurate. Would you agree that this crime either wasn't planned or didn't go as planned?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's going to be a defense angle because that would be a better way to approach a homicide, that it was something that you're intending something other than a death. Then you have a shot at manslaughter. And on the other hand, the efforts to clean up and the efforts to, take action promptly with respect to the kids, to me, suggests that it could go the other way. But honestly, there's a lot of these details that are yet to emerge. And
So him going to the police or whatever and trying to get custody of the kids like the day or day after she was reported missing, you think that works against him?
Well, it certainly looks like it's all connected to the conflict. Even if you're an antagonist with your ex-spouse, when they go missing and they are a part of the raising of the children, you would normally expect some concern about that, not jumping right in.
Right.
Now, I'm just getting into just a nuance that may evaporate quickly based on Michelle Tacones' cooperation. That's the biggest part of the untold story right now.
I want to ask you about that, but also I want to go back to what you just said, because we were thinking about that too. Now, a normal reaction for a person going through a divorce and the mom of the 5 children disappearing is you get in front of a camera and say, look, we were going through a divorce, but it's the mother of my kids. We want her safe return.
Yeah, you plead
for it.
There
was none of that, and if what's reported is accurate, no cooperation. And he runs right down to the police and wants custody. Well, how do you know that you're going to need custody if she might still be alive?
Right, maybe she's missing.
Problem. And the other thing is, I think that lends itself to this wasn't planned or didn't go as planned is no one's going to write down on a piece of paper, okay, and then we're going to take the items and we're going to drive up a road and dump them in 30 different garbage cans. Like, no one's going to put that in their plan, right? Like, that's a bad plan.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree with that.
Huh.
Yeah, well, here's why. People who live in, these wealthier towns and wealthier areas really have a ridiculous view of the inner city. They don't appreciate that there's all these cameras up and down Albany Avenue. They don't appreciate that the police have been trying for years to get a handle on and deter, you know, criminal activity on that road. And they think of it as visiting almost like a third world country. That's just their point of view. I obviously don't share it.
I got
you. So for them, they're thinking they're going off the grid as opposed to actually going on the grid.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. So, because I saw that, but, and thought, no one's going to plan that because that was stupid. But, right. But if you're stupid to how it works in the city, then you could
make
do
sense.
Something stupid in the city.
Right.
So the police talked to the girlfriend, or the state's attorney talks to the girlfriend last week. And now we're days out from that. And there's no additional charges. And there's no discovery of the body. Does that tell you that she didn't have a lot to offer, or what does that tell you?
Well, the most important thing is that she cooperated basically as quickly as she could. Secondly, that the police have been handling this, in my opinion, extremely well. I mean, the idea you put together the phone and the cameras was terrific. And the idea that you make these criminal charges that are meaningful charges. I mean, you're exposed to 15 years, and the bond release documents require their continued separation. At this point, a good lawyer for Michelle Traconis, and she has a very good one in Andy Bowman, is going to cooperate right away. They're going to try to give information that will allow the police to go confirm things that were not publicly known to demonstrate that she's credible and that she truly is cooperating. And so now it's just a matter of get as much evidence as you can. And who knows what she's told them, what the details are, but you got to believe that it's a very important part of the chronology, because you really got to know what he's thinking when he's thinking. And she's got to demonstrate not just that she's credible, but that it stands to reason that she's scared out of her mind from the outset. And the more she gets to spend time with them, the more they get to assess her credibility positively and find more credible that she was operating at all times in fear.
Right. So I got you on this now. I thought because we didn't see a major development right after the interview, like more charges on him or discovery of a body, they didn't get a lot. But you're saying they're probably running around confirming all this stuff now.
And amassing more forensic evidence. Forensic evidence is the best in all these cases because
it doesn't lie.
It kind of puts you right there.
My takeaway from that was she either doesn't know where the body is or it's at the Hartford trash plant. They seem to have upped the presence there after the interview. And they stopped. They kind of pulled back on, like, we're looking in the park and we're looking over here. And, like, they kind of pulled back. It seemed like, all right, now we're focused on this house.
Yeah.
We're focused on this house and we're focused on the trash plant.
Right.
So do you read anything into that or? No.
Well, I think I would read it the same way you do. And the real issue is whether she has confirmed that she knows that she's deceased, that she knows when things took place, the sequence of things. And if your instincts are correct, which they seem likely to be, that the reason they took 30 stops as opposed to one is this was not a recognizable human body by the time they were doing, disposition, if you will. Mm. And if that's the case, they still can charge case. You know, you don't get away with murder just because you do as much damage to the corpse. That's not a defense to a murder case.
Right.
It just makes it difficult. But when you've got somebody this close and you've got out of the 7 billion humans on this earth, nobody with the kind of motive similar to their target here, they have enough evidence now to charge him with homicide. The question is, you want to get the most amount of evidence before you actually do the charge.
Gotcha. If let's, and again, we're assuming that what's been reported is accurate, and she's in a car and she's disposing of, you know, let's just say sponges with blood on them into 30 different garbage cans with this guy. It's hard for her to say, I don't know anything. Like, she knows more than most people, right? I mean, you can't
That's
just say,
a,
so
yeah.
what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're going to stop at 30 different garbage cans right. and just throw stuff. What are we throwing out?
I have no idea what's going on here.
Right, right.
Well, they are environmentalists, perhaps. But
really?
I think what we don't know is whether she was present during any violence.
Right.
We don't know, you know, whether she had communications with him in advance of any violence. What we do know is that she's present with him shortly after all the violence and for a long period of time and doing very bizarre things. So it's almost certain that he said a lot, even if she was not involved in any actual violence. And so that's invaluable, especially when it comes to the issue of what kind of a homicide. Was he someone who was beside himself with, you know, still the same passion that would be behind a manslaughter charge? Or was he cool and calculating and, you know, seemingly finishing up his plan? You know, how he expresses himself. Is he a sociopath who's only concerned with, all right, now I got to then get the kids, and then I got to, like, get my money together. And,
right.
you know, is he really without any sense of remorse or compassion for his deceased ex-wife or even for, oh, my God, what did I do?
Right.
You know, and these are the kinds of things that are great details that are going to be essentially unrebuttable.
Let me ask you this. Now. I'm going to ask you to switch sides here. Now, let's just say you're hired by the guy. What do you advise him to do?
Well, for now, I'm listening. And Norm Pattis is an extremely good lawyer. I say that with this inappropriate bragging right that I actually taught Norm trial advocacy back about 30 years ago at UConn.
Oh, wow.
And he is very talented.
Yeah.
And he always has been talented, and he's totally unafraid. Extremely smart.
He'll be on in 45 minutes.
He's got a PhD in philosophy from Columbia.
He's listening, yes.
Yeah, we'll have him on in 45 minutes, and I'll play this for him.
So what he's going to be doing, first of all, he's excellent in court. So it's a signal that, okay, this may be a big, long one. And his record is he's unafraid to try anything. So they're going to have to sweat every detail to be sure that this is buttoned up. But to answer your better question, which is what should the lawyer be advising the client? The client should be telling him everything about the relationship, everything about the sequence, because he's got to try to go after the possibility of a manslaughter. That's what, you know, whether he was enraged and beside himself and, you know, now this very meticulous disposition of evidence is not exactly the first thing you think about when somebody's enraged. That just looks too calculated.
All right. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk to Norm in about 45 minutes, and I really appreciate you coming on. We'd love to have you back. Attorney Jim Bergen, high-profile defense attorney, partner at Shipman & Goodwin, counselors at law in Hartford. We're linked up at WPLR.com. Thank you. Woman gives birth in McDonald's parking lot, then places order.
Well, she was hungry.
After that, yeah.
And she's eating for one now.
You push out 7 pounds.
Exactly. And technically, she did lose weight. You celebrate by getting some nice,
yeah.
little cheap food.
Yeah, I'd just been through a big ordeal, and now I'd like, yeah.
Yeah, big ordeal, Big Mac.
Staff were stunned as the husband, who appeared frazzled, told them his wife had just had a baby in a parking lot and ordered a burger.
Oh, you may want to wash your hands first.
While they waited for the ambulance.
Well, she did a bun in the oven for a while, so.
It was reportedly the new mother's first request.
Oh. Yes, I had a number two in the parking lot.
I'm sure she did.
Thank you, driver, please. Right, the little baby hand grabs food. Oh, we also need a Happy Meal all of a sudden.
She ordered a quarter pounder.
Right. Well, she had a quarter pounder.
Right. She had a 7-pounder, ordered a quarter pounder.
Exactly. Right. It's math and weight.
I don't know how I'd react in that scenario, you know?
Right.
After that, you push the baby out. The ambulance has been called, and now you're waiting for the ambulance.
It's Have some food while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you run in and get me a quarter pounder?
Right, right. Or they do the drive-thru, and they're like, yeah, we have a number 6 meal, number 2 meal, and you're, wham, and a Happy Meal.
Right.
Yeah. The baby ordered.
All right. Of a sudden, we need a Happy Meal. We just had a kid.
Right.
Right.
Got an angry little infant in here.
I'm going to need that with the milk, not the soda, please. Right. What kind of toy do you have? Like, get a pacifier by any chance. Maybe a clamp.
So the order was dealt with as quickly as possible.
Very accommodating. Service.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. We only had a kid, so.
And then she was able to enjoy the meal as the ambulance arrived.
Well, she had a small fry herself.
Her frazzled husband told stunned staff that his wife had just given birth and they were waiting for the ambulance. Mm. Quote, we served the customer as quickly as possible with drinks and a dinner box.
Mm. Mm.
And he proceeded on his way.
Right. Well, actually, she ate. He was like, oh, I'm good for now.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll maybe later.
Yeah,
I'll
no, after that, my... I'm not.
I'm going to have a salad probably around like 9 o'clock tonight. Maybe some soup. No, not soup.
What do you name the kid now? Mayor McCheese?
Right, right. Drive through.
Grimace?
Right. FF for fast food.
All right.
Hey, FF.
Mm. Ronald?
Well...
Burger Meister, Meister Burger.
Oh, Hammy for hamburger.
I mean, I do get hungry after, you know, a stressful. I always want to eat. So yeah. If I'm happy, I want to eat. And if I'm stressed out, I want to eat.
Well, if it's a girl, it's 2 all beef patty.
2 all beef patty. I love it.
You want to clean the special sauce over there.
One more. Naked suspect hides in chicken coop. A guy in a stolen car caused a crash, then fled police in New York State last week. Eventually got busted hiding naked in the county historian's chicken coop.
Wow. There's an elaborate plan. I know I'll hide out naked in a chicken coop.
Why naked?
Why
in
naked?
A chicken coop. Why not? Like, wouldn't you want your clothes on in a chicken coop?
Well, I'm naked as a jaybird. Yeah, they may think it's a worm right there.
Maybe he's trying to blend in.
Right, start a poll. Yeah, yeah. Well, they do say chickens are cold.
Here's some white meat for you.
Chickens are cold pullets.
Right, I'm pasty white. You're white.
What are you doing? I'm right. Pulling it.
Camouflaging myself.
I'm a pullet.
He probably just didn't want his clothes to smell afterwards.
Exactly right.
I'm not going in there barefoot, tell you that right
now.
Yeah,
really. Ah. Oh, hell no. Keep the sneakers on.
Then
yeah.
Got to have the underwears.
You got to, yeah. Never know. Yep.
And they're saying he may have killed one of the chickens.
Oh, probably sat on it.
Oh, come on.
He's got feathers in his ass.
You know, I wrote down here on this piece of paper, AJ choked chicken, because right. I thought that was going to be your first joke.
No.
Nope. You have not done that yet?
No.
I'm proud of you.
I'm thinking outside the box over here.
All right.
Too obvious.
Right, right, right. And obviously one extra pecker.
Right. Chicken McNuggets.
Right.
He was the cock of the walk.
Right.
Exactly.
And this is why in the meeting, Ashley said, can we say pecker on the air? I'm like, why?
If I was she's smarter, like, I would make a few pecker jokes, but.
But you're not.
No. I made a white meat joke, though.
She's not feeling very peckish.
And this audio is who? Is it the suspect?
This is the person who owns the chicken coop.
Okay.
I walked over to the side window, and I look out, and the guy's in my chicken coop. And he's totally naked. He's covered with mud, and he's chasing my chickens. He did end up getting one of the chickens. Never found, we searched around. We found a trail of feathers, actually, leading from my chicken coop over to the neighbor's and then on down the hill. So, you know, we're assuming that he killed the chicken, but we just haven't been able to find that.
If he coughs and you see a bunch of feathers, then you know what happened.
Exactly right. Let me smell your breath.
Yeah. Or fart.
Missing mom update. We're entering the third week. Still no sign of her. Mother of 5 in Connecticut turns up missing. Going through a difficult divorce, to say the least. Husband and husband's girlfriend arrested for evidence tampering. And the girlfriend bails herself out, and she talks to prosecutors, and then Norm has been on all last week talking about this, and then hired by the estranged husband over the weekend. And I feel like there was this could be the moment that Norm got the job. On the show last week, we asked him, what would you ask this guy? Would you ask him if he did it?
All right, so here I'm going to teach you criminal defense lawyer speak.
Okay.
Clients catch cases in the way you and I catch colds. And the way you begin to discuss a criminal accusation as a client is never by saying, what did you do? Because you don't want to limit your options going forward. You ask them, what are they saying you did? Well, they're saying I killed her. And do you have any idea how they say you did it? Well, they say, you know, I did X, Y, and Z. And then you begin to look for ways to put distance between your client and the case. So in the case of Mr. Foti, the first steps are easy. Courthouse, you know, what you say is, look, we understand and share the state's anxiety about this missing mother, the mother of my client's children. He, too, wants her back in the children's lives. And let's not reach conclusions that simply because these two are in the midst of a divorce and simply because they're fighting over custody, my client's a murderer. Because if that's the case, then each and every person who's ever gone through a divorce is guilty, at least, of the desire to kill.
Norm's on the show now, and I promised him I'd only ask him two questions. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Morning.
Good. So what's the reaction to this been since you announced that you're representing the husband?
Well, a number of haters have emerged and suggested that I should be ashamed of myself and should apply whatever talents I have to more worthy causes.
What's your reaction to that?
I can't think of anything more noble or worthy than standing next to a man who's been tried and convicted in the media and in the press. I'm flattered to have the case and delighted and looking forward to the challenge.
Hmm. So many people have asked this question of you throughout your career and of other attorneys when they take on a case like this, and that is, how can you represent this person?
You know, did you play Little League Baseball as a kid?
I did not.
No.
Well, here, can you imagine? It's the bottom of the ninth. Your team is down 3 runs. Bases are loaded. It's a full count. And there's one pitch standing between your team and disaster. Do you want to be that guy in the batter's box? I do, and now I am. So I couldn't be happier.
All right. No, I promise you I'd only ask two questions.
So. There they are.
Is there anything you want to add to this?
No, I mean, it's an overwhelming responsibility. There's a lot to learn. You know, I'm just getting back in the office right now after being in Texas for the last 3-4 days. I've got quite a job ahead of me, and based on what I've learned, the case is not at all what it appears to be in the press, and I'm sort of gobsmacked by it. I'll have more to say as I can say it.
We had attorney Jim Bergen on earlier, mm-hmm. And first let me play you a clip of what he thinks of you.
Norm Pattis is an extremely good lawyer. I actually taught Norm trial advocacy back about 30 years ago at UConn.
Oh, wow.
And he is very talented. And he always has been talented. And he's totally unafraid. Extremely smart.
Kind words.
Yeah, I'll
and
take it.
It's always a compliment when someone says they had something to do with your success.
Yes.
And then I think I asked him, what would you do if you were Norm?
The client should be telling him everything about the relationship, everything about the sequence, because he's got to try to go after the possibility of a manslaughter. That's what, you know, whether he was enraged and beside himself. And, you know, now this very meticulous disposition of evidence is not exactly the first thing you think about when somebody's enraged. That just looks too calculated.
What do you think about that, or do you want to answer that? Or
so, from afar, people have concluded that Mr. Doulos was both present and did, in fact, engage in unlawful conduct. Based on what I've learned in the last 72 hours, I'm not prepared to assume that's the case any longer.
Interesting. I want to ask you so many questions.
But you promised me too.
But I promised that, right. I don't want to go back on that. How about this? Can I ask you a couple questions and you could just say no comment?
No comment.
Okay. Will you be meeting with him today or tomorrow?
Yes.
And you'll be in the room with him?
And yes.
Yes. And do you feel like it would be important for him to put together the bail and get himself out?
It's always better to be out than in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to break up any promises.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, it's in a difficult position. I mean, you know, especially with my mouth, have mouth will travel has sort of been my motto.
Yeah, because if I ask something and then you answer it and it shouldn't have answered it, then it's my fault because I promise you.
No, but I mean, and you know, one of the things that has been remarkably chastening to me in this case is, you know, when you guys call and it's a case and it's somebody else's case, it's very easy to take an assumption, run with it, and play out the possibilities. Those assumptions are hypotheses that are floated in the news as possible and realistic. Now I'm responsible for marshaling the evidence and conducting a defense under the rules of evidence and the code of professional conduct. That really is a whole different enterprise.
Right.
And candidly, it's been my experience that cases in court often look far different than they do in the press. And so I am open to the possibility of reassessing every hypothesis that has been floated in this case, and I'm going to take this case wherever the evidence leads. And right now, I don't know where that is.
Right.
Let me just leave you with this thought.
Okay, and then I have...
I'm told by people who with information that the girlfriend was never at the New Canaan home that day, and the day the wife went missing, and that she can prove she was never there and that law enforcement may be satisfied. That is a very significant fact in this case.
I promise I won't ask you.
I know you're dying right now.
Is that good?
So how was your weather? How was the weekend? It was hot and awesome, 95 degrees. I was thrilled to see it was 30 degrees cooler.
So can I just say, I don't know. Like, I could hit the dump button if you don't want any of this, but Norm texted me Saturday, like, hey, look at this react. Like, he was sending me people reacting to this, and it was really negative.
Wow.
I get it. I've been in those shoes kind of. So my father's an attorney, practices, you know, civil law, not criminal law. But I was friends with Haley Pettit, who was killed during the Cheshire home invasion, and also knew the attorney that represented Hayes. And I would see him on basically a weekly basis. So it's like, it's a very difficult, like, I get both sides, but it's just a really difficult place to be when it is assumed that this person did something so horrible.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay tuned and see where the evidence leads. It'll be an interesting case. I really am looking forward to the fight. You know.
Have you noticed, and this is, you could no comment on this, but this one isn't really about the case as much as the reporting. Have you noticed that most of the reports, when they say this guy got a high-profile attorney, Norm Pattis, they say he also did these things. And they list a bunch of cases that were really, like, I don't know, negative. Like, people have a negative feeling about the client that you represented. In other words, they never put forward, like, hey, Norm Pattis, successfully represented someone that the state wanted to put away who did nothing.
Exactly.
There was none of those cases cited. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, criminal defense lawyers are easy to hate, and we sort of play the role of, you know, the guy who tied the woman to the railroad tracks. I mean, in the public's mind, we're easy to hate until you need us, and then we're then we're your last and only friend. And so, I mean, I get that, and it's a role that I'm comfortable playing.
I think
role.
The problem lies in the term defense, because again, this person is assumed to have done something very bad, and a criminal attorney comes to their defense.
Well, let's be real here for the moment, though. No one has charged Mr. Dulos with murder, and that's because there's not probable cause to believe he's committed the crime. If that changes, I'm sure the state will let us know, and we await the allegations. Right now, the only charges are hindering prosecution and tampering with physical evidence. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I've got to review the state's evidence.
So this is so state's evidence. So this is a question that could apply to any case, not this specific case. The only evidence that they have to show you is the evidence that they have that support the current charges, right? In other words, they don't have to show you things that may be coming down the road in other charges.
Well, I mean, there's something called the law enforcement privilege, and so while an investigation is going forward, the police have no obligation to share what they're doing for fear that it may compromise the investigation. So, you know, that's the answer. The other cases are very early. I'm entitled to the warrant in their process. I'm entitled to the warrant and such information as I can get from the state and other sources. We're a long way from trial in either case. I suspect that even on the hindering charge, we're a year out from trial. So I think, you know, as pressure mounts on attempting to locate the missing woman, public interest in the case may grow and emotions will get hotter, but the evidence is what it is, and that probably won't change much.
That attorney, Jim Bergen, said that a good pick in Norm Pattison. Number of reasons, but Norm likes to go all the way if he has to. So do you think that sends a signal to them that the deal better be good if you don't want to go the whole distance?
I take every case I take, I assume we're going to trial. And in a significant number we do, but along the way I get pretty good offers. If they make Mr. Dulos an offer he can't refuse, he won't refuse it. But right now they've charged him with a crime. Our plea is not guilty, and my view is bring it on. Let's see what you got.
Attorney Norm Pattison, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
Why are you at court today? Street Pete's in Vegas training for his next job, but he has some audio. What are we going to hear first?
Jagger, and he, this guy's very, very, very funny. Across stealing.
Oh, all right.
New Haven.
Good setup. Sorry.
It's a funny thief, gotcha.
He's got AJ's Monday disease.
Right, exactly.
It's like word scramble. Well, I'm going to take the words in this set and scramble them and then just pull them out in any order.
I was in the heat. He was in the heat.
I was in the heat.
In the hot.
It is 5 o'clock over here.
I was in the hot.
All right. Let's listen to Jagger.
Hi, what's your name?
Jagger.
Why are you in court today?
I guess I took something. Well, I didn't take it, but I took it, or they said I took it.
It sounds like he's formulating his defense as he speaks.
He is. He's good.
I didn't take it, but I took it.
I didn't take it. They say I took it. I took it. All right.
You know, everybody's been in that situation.
Right, of course. Right. Yes, yes.
I didn't take it, but I took it, or they said I took it.
What'd you take?
Wait. What was that?
It's the interview skills we actually like.
Trying to process.
He's speaking monkey.
Ting tang, walla walla bing bang.
Look up the eyes.
Yeah, it's like he's walking on sidewalk and he's like, whoa.
I got marbles.
That's the sound of Pete's brain thinking.
Yes.
It just got a buffering sound, too.
Yeah.
Don't spill your coffee.
Yeah, look at the antifreeze.
All right.
What'd you take?
I was at the supermarket and, you know, the self-checkout things they got? I didn't know they, like, monitor. So I kind of, I guess some stuff just found its way into my bag that didn't get scanned.
Right.
So
one for you, one for me, two for me.
I've always wondered about that. I thought it was all weight, right? So I thought that the bag that's on that metal thing, because that metal thing over to the right is a scale. If you ever notice, it's not, like, fastened in there. It's a scale. So it sees what you scanned, and then it weighs it.
Oh.
So if your bag weighs a lot more than what you just scanned,
right?
Dink.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want dink.
You don't want a dink.
No dink.
No dink.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think that's how it works. That's how my mind looks at that and says, oh, yeah, this is how they, I have no idea.
Well, I know if you plug in the wrong thing, they have that, you know, you can look up your barcode, stuff like that, for like a salad or something like that. If you punch in the wrong one, the lady comes running over screaming at you because I tried to buy a whole bunch of olives and for a cheaper price. And she like came screaming over.
Where was this?
They were $8 Stop and Shop. They were $8, not $2 I put in.
Oh.
This is a couple years ago.
Wait, you put the money in?
No. In other words, I was ringing myself out to self-check, and I had a thing of olives in the plastic you get from the salad bar.
Right.
And I punched in what I thought it was, which came out to $2. No, it was $8, and she made sure I knew it.
Oh, wow.
She was on me like a hawk. Boom, I was right on me. Where the hell did she come from?
So, yeah, sometimes it's a little confusing because you can select, like, there's 9 different kinds of onion or whatever.
Exactly. So,
if you hit the wrong one and, like, there's, like, a sale that day on the one that you chose, but you're choosing the different ones, then, yeah, they get upset with you.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yes, and they break
you. Do they
for
run
minutes.
Over and say, hey, wait a minute, you put the wrong one, you're going to pay too much?
No.
No.
No, they don't do that. No, right. no they don't do that at all.
That,
no.
that hasn't happened.
Or we forgot half your cat food while we were, like, ringing you out. It's still sitting there. Hey, come back and get your cat food. Or next time see you. You have cat food here last time. No, they don't do that either.
All right, okay. All right, Pete, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, because it does, the scale, if you do move something, as soon as you take it off, it stops the whole process.
Okay. So that is a scale.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and that belt, you've got to let it ride the whole way down the belt because there's, like, lasers that check. So if it doesn't make it all the way down the belt, everything stops. The light starts blinking.
Yeah.
Like, if it doesn't hit that checkpoint, they're like, something funny's going on here.
Yeah, except for when something's really, really light and you paid for it and you put it down, like peppercorn kernels, it's too light. It goes halfway down.
What the hell
back
are you
again.
Buying?
I know.
I thought your wife went shopping.
You put peppercorns in the pepper mill so you get crushed. Fresh pepper.
Jagger's at court because he got popped at the self-checkout, not paying for everything that was in his bag.
All right, so what'd you take?
A steak.
Okay. For what?
For eating.
All right.
Hold on.
See?
Hold on.
You could have it for your eye if you got a black eye or something like that, or a steak out.
That would be amazing if he said something else.
Right. For throwing.
That was awesome. Now, what was your thinking behind the question, Pete?
Well, because trying to get answers out of this guy, I'm like, what did you steal? Like, what could you possibly steal? And why would you do it? He's like, for eating, man. Why else would it be?
No, but he said a steak, and you said, for what?
Because he was broke. He basically was broke. So he told me.
Wait, so you were looking for a different answer.
Yeah, I was definitely looking.
So you know what a steak is for?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Right.
So you weren't asking, well, are you going to put the steak in a salad? Are you going to cook it on the grill?
Right.
Are you going to marinate it, then give it to someone?
Right.
What made you choose this particular item?
Right.
Yeah, what kind of steak
was it? How do you prepare that steak?
Right.
Well, usually if you're going to steal a steak, you don't go to the checkout line. You just take it, put it in your jacket, and leave.
Or your pants. One of the two, yes.
I love how Pete's such a professional at stealing stuff. He's like, well, why would you put it in the bag and put it over there? And I'm like, what?
Right.
Is that a steak, or are you just happy to see me?
Exactly. And wouldn't that steak be cold in your pants, too?
But you know what? Jagger's pause and inflection in the answer says everything you need to know.
Yep.
Right? Can
you
play that again?
Yep.
Okay. For what?
For eating.
For eating?
For eating.
Like, what a
how could we have been so blind?
The inflection says, idiot.
Right.
You can always hear him shrug his shoulders, shake his head, and go, for eating.
For
why
eating.
Else would
what
I have
right.
He could have said to graft back onto the cow.
Yeah. Well, I need a pillow, so I'm going to steal a steak.
Right. At a hole in my shoe. I need something to fill it.
Right.
I ran out of toothpaste, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, I've got to get a steak.
Hairpiece.
All right.
So you're at court today for not scanning a steak.
And
Hold on. I love Pete's recap. Like, so if you're not understanding what's happening here.
Right. Phil's just getting here.
Yeah. So he's like, you know what he's doing? He's doing like Columbo. Remember that TV cop from the 70s?
Yep.
Who would like just ask the obvious question. So let me get this right. So you were arrested for scanning or not scanning a steak.
Exactly.
Yeah, for eating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he was going to destroy the evidence, obviously.
Right. All right, go ahead.
And some other stuff.
What else?
Uh-huh.
Can of asparagus.
the fixings.
A couple other things I don't even know.
Wait, so you ask about the steak
so we stole
and not
dinner.
The asparagus?
Well, he doesn't like asparagus. Right. So
you stole a steak. For what? Asparagus. Are you starting a garden?
Asparagus makes your pee smell funny.
I was going to say that.
You didn't ask about the asparagus.
Or the pee.
We didn't pee yet.
Asparagus?
What's that?
Why would you steal asparagus?
Obviously, right. He's stealing a whole...
Exactly. That's what we want to know. You didn't ask.
Obviously, he's stealing a whole dinner.
Why are you asking us? He had the guy that had the info.
Yeah. You were talking to the man who did it.
He didn't take any potatoes.
You questioned him on the steak, but not the asparagus.
Unreal.
All right, go ahead.
But
did you pay for anything?
Yeah, there was some stuff I scanned, and I paid for that, and I guess I thought the rest was just like... Yeah. They're not going to know.
So how'd you get caught?
The alarm went off.
Oh, the alarm went off. Okay.
No further questions, Your Honor. The defense rests.
Well, you know what? After asking what a steak is for, that's really not out of line.
Yeah, no, no.
That's like, you know, it's consistent with what's happening here.
Exactly.
Right. Once that happens, like, what's the steak for? Anything that comes after that is like, yeah, that makes sense. He doesn't understand any of this.
Not one bit, no.
The only way that gets better is, how'd you know the alarm went off? I heard it.
Right. How'd you know you were arrested?
Right.
I was in the back of a car.
Right. They put handcuffs on me.
They told me you are under arrest.
Right. They read me my rights and everything. Some chick named Miranda.
Miranda what else? Is there anything else, or did we hit it?
Nah, I think that's about it.
Okay. All right, Pete, that was good.
All right, man.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're getting better at this whole interview thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you got to ask the question. So now Pete is like a reporter. Sometimes they ask stupid questions, and we asked reporters about this. Like, why would you ask that? And it's because they need the answer.
Right.
On tape.
Exactly. Right? For the soundbite.
Because, all right, we all know the answer, but they didn't say it. So Pete's like, we all knew he was going to eat the steak, but really, he never said he stole it to eat it.
No, he could have given us a gift for Christmas.
What's it for? What's it for?
Yeah.
To eat.
Then give him a girlfriend.
Ah, we got the answer.
Right.
So Pete is good at getting the answers.
Look at you.
All right, Street Pete. Nice job. We will talk to you next week.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.